read and hear more about important news, events, and public policy debates at ncnewsline.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. With North Carolina being one of the most important and hotly contested states in the upcoming November election, national and state-based pollsters are carefully and regularly monitoring voter attitudes and public opinion trends. And as News and Views listeners are well aware, one of the best and most reliable experts in this realm is Meredith College political science professor and pollster David McLennan. Recently, I caught up with David to check in on the state of the presidential and gubernatorial races, as well as what North Carolinians are thinking about some current hot-button issues, including laws that make it hard for some citizens to vote and the advent of legal online sports gambling in our state. Well, Professor David McLennan, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Thanks, Rob. Good to be with you again.
Can't believe the 7 months to the 2024 election. North Carolina, one of those states where just about everything's on the ballot. We've had some interesting developments in the presidential race. Am I right? Is it the Kennedy effect could be affecting what happens here in North Carolina, or at least where we're at right now?
Any third party candidate could affect in a tightly contested election, but Robert F. Kennedy Jr. at least got enough signatures on his petitions to submit to the Board of Elections to get on the ballot. And he seems to be getting a lot of publicity. So we decided to test what impact would he have on the matchup between Trump and Biden. And we found some interesting things. First, Kennedy is polling at 9%, which, you know, not surprising given his name recognition. Mm-hmm. But the race has tightened up. And so we'd been polling this race for a couple of previous polls. And you and I had talked about this, that Trump looked like he was outside the margin of error in terms of the lead, and now it's an inside the margin of the error, even with Kennedy in the race.
It's amazing. And of course, Kennedy, the Kennedy family has endorsed Joe Biden, and he provokes a lot of strong feelings on a lot of sides. He's got a very strong anti-vaccine crusade that a lot of people say is really counter to what scientists have found is true. And so he's won some support from disaffected people. But of course, the name is just an establishment name in the Democratic Party. So it's interesting. Does he actually take more votes away from Trump, it appears?
It looks like he is not hurting Biden. I think that's the best way to say it. Uh-huh. I mean, if you look at the breakdown of the crosstabs in the poll, he draws from a lot of different groups, those who call themselves moderates, some young voters who may be disaffected with Biden, but he also draws from some rural older voters. I think that's the thing about Kennedy is the Kennedy name for those people who a little bit older, you know, they may think, well, that's the Kennedy mystique is, but he's not his father or his uncle. And so that's why, as you mentioned, the Kennedy family has endorsed Biden. So I think it's the kind of thing where people may be looking to him as a alternative. But as we've seen in North Carolina, you've been watching North Carolina politics a long time. You know that third party candidates tend to diminish as they get closer to election day. I don't anticipate him being a major factor, but in a close race, even a couple of percentage points could matter.
Am I right? There's a bit of a divide, male-female divide, I think you found when you looked at some of these numbers in the presidential race. Am I right about that?
Yeah, and so we're finding that's increasingly important in this year's election. Male-female divide just over Biden and Trump generally is larger than it even was in 2020. But we're finding, interestingly enough, the divide among young voters, that divide is getting very large between young males tend to both approve of Donald Trump and support him for the presidency, and young women, the 18 to 24 year olds in particular, are not approving of Donald Trump and more Joe Biden supporters. So, you know, it's the divides in the electorate in 2024 are constantly changing.
Appears maybe a little bit of movement in the governor's race too. Am I right that it seems perhaps that Josh Stein may have gained a little bit with a lot of undecided folks, but initially it seemed perhaps they were more neck and neck, and maybe at least in this latest poll, Stein has pulled ahead a bit.
Yeah, Stein's pulled ahead a bit, and we see fewer undecideds than we did in the pre-primary matchup polls. So we're still got a sufficient number, but a little bit of movement towards Stein, a little bit of movement away from Robinson. I think that's significant. It's the movement away from Robinson that the Robinson people should be very concerned with. And he's losing among places where any gubernatorial candidate needs to win, among unaffiliated voters, among suburban voters. So he's still running pretty strong among rural voters, but he's lost most of it among unaffiliated, particularly unaffiliated people living in suburban areas.
It would seem it couldn't be helping Lieutenant Governor Robinson that he has yet to really consolidate the complete Republican Party. I mean, Tom Tillis, some of the folks that ran against him in the primary, not really getting on board with his candidacy.
Yeah, and I think that speaks to the difficulties that Robinson's going to have. I mean, you know, a week doesn't go by without something else coming out, either an extreme statement by him or something from his past that, you know, I think he had a tax issue that got some prominent coverage. You know, so you're finding not only people like Tom Tillis, but you're finding some other Pittman, former Representative Pittman, said he couldn't support it. He's very conservative. He couldn't support Robinson. So it's kind of across the spectrum from Tillis, who is on the more moderate side, to people who are very conservative. And there are probably a lot of reasons why Robinson is not getting that support, but you're right. If you can't coalesce the Republican support, it makes it very difficult.
We're talking with our old friend, David McLennan, a professor of political science, director of the Meredith Poll at Raleigh's Meredith College. You didn't just ask about individual races, right? You looked at voter attitudes on some issues. I saw there was some questions about sports gambling, which just seemed to have exploded in our world here in North Carolina over the last month, and has taken a very prominent place in society. What are people thinking about that?
Well, it's interesting. We decided to poll it because it has been effect since just before the ACC men's basketball tournaments. And we've seen hundreds of millions of dollars bet in North Carolina through the various apps and things. It seems like it's an interesting breakdown, and the majority of voters seem to somewhat approve of it, if not strongly approve of it. A lot of North Carolinians have no opinion, which probably means they haven't gambled using it, include me in there. And it's interesting if you break it down demographically, it's not a partisan divide. It's not a Republican-Democratic thing. It tends to break down a little bit more on age. Younger people tend to like it. And that's probably not surprising, given that it's a mobile form of betting. And I think maybe some older voters just simply aren't as experienced. And voters of color approve it a little bit more than do white voters, and I don't know what to make of that. So I don't want to draw any strong conclusions from that, but it seems like at least right now, North Carolinians are moderately supportive of it. We also asked a question about the impact on college athletes, because if you compare North Carolina's law to other states, some other states shield bets that are made on college athletes in particular. North Carolina doesn't. There's a little bit more disapproval for that.
Yeah, it seems like there's going to be a push there. There's been a lot of troubling publicity by college athletes explaining how they've been getting hostile comments on their social media about they didn't score enough points in a game. It does seem a bit worrisome that it could be going down that road. So perhaps that will lead to some sort of shield, as you say, if that's possible really to do. You also looked at political polarization and what people think about that. It does seem we live in polarized times, but what do people think about that polarization?
You know, again, we've been tracking this since we started the Meredith Poll, as sort of just to see what the overall attitudes about politics and the parties and that sort of thing have been, what's been happening. And people are very pessimistic about polarization. They don't think it's necessarily going to get much better in the next 5 years, which is the most disconcerting part. We found that a lot of people would like an alternative to the two major parties. And this goes back to the first question you asked about Robert F. Kennedy, which is people are dissatisfied with the Republican and Democratic parties generally. They don't think they represent the average North Carolinian. They think they're too extreme. Yet when it comes down to voting, people tend to vote their partisan preferences. And so it's a very uncomfortable position that we have at Meredith Poll of seeing North Carolinians being very dissatisfied with the political structure and the two parties' role in it, but they don't feel a whole lot of optimism about anything improving. So it's one of those kind of deep dives into political attitudes. It's not about a candidate or a policy, but it's about how do you feel generally. And I'd say North Carolinians, like most Americans, have a lot of concern about where the political system is going.
But they're not quite sure what they want, maybe. they're not happy with things.
Yeah. We also ask about the voting process. Again, there's been so much discussion about the actual how elections are run, whether they're legitimate, that sort of thing. So we decided to ask some different sort of questions this time about whether people had experienced issues at their polling places, and that could include being confused about their polling place to whether or not they received the help they needed to cast a ballot. And we found that most North Carolinians had not experienced many problems. A good number of North Carolinians had, mainly confusion over where they voted. And that's pretty obvious given how often we redraw maps that could lead to confusion. But the major takeaway was that a lot of North Carolinians don't think we fund our election system enough, because they're concerned about our fellow citizens with disabilities and can they cast the ballot? You know, will there be enough poll workers there to help people who may have mobility or sight issues? So I thought, you know, in terms of the legislative session just getting underway, you know, that kind of finding is important, that maybe we need to put some more money behind the voting process in North Carolina, because county and state board of election officials have said this for years, that we need some additional resources. This poll seems to validate their perspective.
Karen Brinson Bell, who's the executive director of the State Board of Elections, recently told the General Assembly that the computer system she was trying to update was analogous to the 1970s Atari game system, she felt like. So there's no doubt that more resources are needed, but it unfortunately so far not forthcoming. I guess we'll come to the end of our time with David McLennan, who's a professor of political science at Meredith College and the head of the Meredith poll. There was one question that was caught my eye. You asked about what people thought about voting by people with criminal records. We have sort of gone back and forth in North Carolina. There are a lot of folks who are out on parole, maybe still working to the end of that. At one point, we had a court ruling saying they had a right to vote. Then that was reversed. What do people think about that and about integrating people with criminal records back into society? Anything to be gleaned there?
Well, I think there are two major conclusions. Number one is they're not well informed as to the current law. So that may be, as you said, just because there have been so many things said about it. But I also think one of the reasons why we asked that question was because of all the political rhetoric around voting integrity, you know, that people who shouldn't be voting are voting, we know who has been making those allegations. So I wanted to find out what North Carolinians thought about not only the law related to felons voting, but about college students. Because there has been, over the past decade, a number of changes by the legislature that has made it more difficult for college students to vote. And again, the bottom line is there's a lot of confusion around both those issues and some concern. I think not only the Board of Elections to perhaps ramp up their communication about this, but also just simply looking at it from a legislative perspective. Is the status clear?
Our lawmakers could make some real improvements to our election system by maybe providing a few more resources to the people who run them.
It would help, but I suspect that you probably know this better than I, that when they say short session, they mean get out of town quickly.
David McLennan, professor of political science and director of the Meredith Poll at Raleigh's Meredith College. As always, it's a delight to have you, David. Thanks. Take care, and I'm sure we'll talk again before the election.
Thanks, Rob. Good to speak with you again, and look forward to talking to you in the future.
Coming up next, one of the state's leading workers' rights attorneys joins us to discuss a pair of promising new rules from the federal government. Don't go away.